96.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on foxsports983.com and espnau.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. Hope you're all doing well out there in the Auburn Opelika area. In the 80s today, folks. You know me. I'm not a fan of it. In the 80s, not happy about it. But it is nice weather and it's not raining. So can't complain too much about the heat. We do live in Alabama, so you know how it is. It gets hot and it stays hot here in this area. So, sorry, just trying to get everything set up here real quick. Had some technical difficulties, but we're ready to go now, I think. But again, weather is hot, but the sun is shining and it's not raining, so can't complain too much. Hope you're all doing well out in the Auburn Opelika area up through Birmingham, Sylacauga, on 98.3 and across the state of Alabama, across the country as well. Hope you're all doing well. I appreciate you tuning in to the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We've got a great show on tap for you today. If you want to call in, get involved. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world, I would love to hear from you. Call in, get involved. And a little update for you now. I talked about, I can't remember if it was it yesterday or maybe end of last week, where I talked about trying to get a sound beat, like a sound bit to play when somebody calls in during the show, because of course my show producer Trevor is no longer here. He finished his internship, so he's no longer here. And now it is just me here in the studio, but I don't want to have to wait until the commercials for you to call in. I am in the process of finding a new co-host, or not, I guess, yeah, that too, I guess, but really in the works of finding a new show producer right now to answer phone calls and do some of the back-end stuff while I focus on the on-air part. But with that being said, since I don't have a producer right now, I've had to force you, the listener and the callers, to wait until the commercial to call in. But now, as I told you I was going to try and do, I now have something where if you call in during the show, I've got it's like a 15-second little sound bite that basically just says, hey, I'm answering the phone, stick with me, and we're going to get a phone caller on. So I have that made. It's in the system and ready to go. So if you want to call in at any point today during the show, I've got you. I'd love to get you on and hear what you have to say. Get involved with the show, and we can try it out, see how it works. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. We've got a lot to talk about. Phone lines are open all show long. At 2:30, we're going to have 2:30, we're going to have Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn. We're going to talk to him about some of the NFL draft and about Auburn and their struggles in the NFL draft and continue on the conversation of what does Auburn need to do to get guys into the league again. So Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn, he'll be on at his normal spot of 2:30 here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. But other than that, phone lines are open. You can call in anytime today, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. And look, let's start today's show. I've got some bad news for you, folks. I do. I have some bad news. College athletics as we know it, as we have grown up to know it, as we've grown up to watch it, and as we've grown up to love, it's gone. It's over. The game of college sports and the name of college sports and the love of college sports is gone. college sports are still there, and we're still going to be able to enjoy it, but not in the ways that we used to. And I don't think it's going in a good direction right now. And I think it's only going to get worse. Yes, we've talked about this, but even it's literally day to day that something new, they're adding more fuel to the fire of this conversation about college athletics with NIL and with transfer portal, and how that was all a horrible idea. It was a horrible idea. And today is no different. And again, college athletics as we once knew it, it's officially gone. It is. It's gone. The game is changing. College football is changing. College basketball is changing. Other college sports are changing as well. But those two in particular, obviously, that's where the money is. So that's the ones, or those are the ones that are going to see the most impact. Those are the ones that are going to see the biggest changes. And that's exactly what's happening. You are seeing college football change before your very eyes. And not in a good way. Not in a good way at all. And I think, and I've said it before, I think it's so far gone that they will never get back. They won't. They'll never get back to where it was, or where even just a couple of years ago, where when all we had to complain about was some rules, targeting, right? That seems like forever ago. Complaining about targeting calls and targeting rules. Now we have a whole different beast to worry about. We have a whole different animal to try to conquer to save college football. You know who was right? Dabo Swinney. He didn't have the best way of addressing it and the best way of delivering his message, but he was right. Nick Saban was right. These guys were right when they talked about NIL and transfer portal years ago when this stuff started coming up before it was actually created. They talked about it and they said, that's not a good thing. There's better ways to do it. That's not the way to do it. This is going to ruin things. And yet here we are. In May of 2022, and they were 100% right, folks. They were 100% right. And what I talked and what I'm talking about today is the player Jordan Addison, star wide receiver from Pitt. He's one of the best receivers in all of college football. He's played at Pitt for 2 years, and he's now leaving, supposedly. He's not officially in the portal yet, but word is that he is leaving. And word is that he is going to USC. Again, none of this has actually happened yet, but there's pretty good sources that say it's happening. And he's not just going to USC because he wants to play for Lincoln Riley. Uh-uh. There's reports that he is making, or he is getting offered somewhere around, and these are just reports, okay? It hasn't officially happened yet, but there are reports that he will be leaving Pitt to go to USC for $2 million. $2 million for a college football wide receiver. You know what that means? That means companies and boosters at the University of Southern California, they bought a college wide receiver. They bought him with money. They paid him, or reportedly are going to pay him $2 million to go play at USC. He's all of a sudden says, I don't want to play at Pitt anymore. Nah, I don't want to play there anymore. I'm going to go to USC. Why? Because he can make $2 million. That's more than half of the players that got drafted last weekend are going to make. He's making more than some NFL players if he gets that deal. Again, it hasn't happened yet, but it's reported that it could happen and probably will happen. That just goes to show that this is about to get extremely ugly. You think that's a lot? Wait 2 or 3 years from now. Wait 4 or 5 years from now. The richest schools in the richest areas are going to have the best players. And there's reports that if he hits the transfer portal, which if he enters the transfer portal now, yes, he will have to sit out a year. But who cares? He's making $2 million. He doesn't care about football anymore. He doesn't care. He'll sit out a year. He still makes his money. He still does his commercials. He still posts on his Instagram. He doesn't care. He's still making his money. And good for him. Good for him, right? 100% good for him. If you're that good and you have people offering you that amount of money, absolutely, man, go take it. But the whole concept, I hate it. I hate it, and it's over. It's gone. What we know or what we once knew about college football and college basketball, because it'll be the same just on a smaller scale, that's over, man. Just going out and recruiting a kid to play for your school and your coach, no, that ain't it anymore. That's part of it, but that's not everything. Because when you come in and you say, this is what our school can offer you, this is what our coaching staff can offer you, the next question that kid's going to ask is, well, how much money can you give me? How much money can you guarantee me with NIL? And if you can't offer me six figures like this other school can, sorry, I'm not playing for you. That's not how it should be. That was not the plan or the goal here. That's not what NIL was supposed to do. But yet, the NCAA and everybody else, they said, here you go. And they just opened it up and let it fly. And here we are. No rules, no restrictions, nothing. They just said, here it is. Go off and take advantage. And that's exactly what they've done. Credit to college athletes for understanding what their worth is and understanding how much money they can make. But there's got to be something to limit it. There's got to be something to control it. Because right now there's not. And it's ruining college sports. And it's going to ruin it. Because it's literally borderline free agency right now. It's free agency. This kid's going to hit the portal. And about 20 schools are going to give him a phone call. And they're going to say, well, here's what we can offer you NIL money. And another school is going to pick up the phone and says, oh, they offered you this? Well, we can offer you that plus another $50,000 or however much. That's how it's going to go. It's free agency. Kids don't even care about where they go to school anymore. A lot of them still do. But it's going to get more and more and more that don't. And that's not good for a college athletics. Because then, when the season rolls around, what is motivating that kid, that player, to actually perform well? To actually care about what he does on the field? All he has to do is be good enough to still get that money. It doesn't matter if they win or not. Because once he's there, he gets his money. He does what he needs to do. He doesn't care about going pro. He doesn't care about bettering himself. He doesn't care about bettering the team. Am I wrong? If you disagree or if you have a comment on this, I'd love to hear from you, because you can tell and you can hear in my voice and by my words that I'm extremely unhappy with this. I'm extremely unhappy. And I'm worried. I am borderline scared for what is going to happen to college football and college basketball in the next 5 to 10 years. I don't even think it's going to take that long. I think maybe 5 years, and it's going to be to a point where it may not even be enjoyable anymore. And I'm dead serious. I'm 100% serious. I think in the next 5 years, if they don't do something to limit this, I think it's going to be in a really bad spot and borderline unwatchable. Because the richest schools in the richest areas with the richest companies are going to get the best players. And that's just how it's going to go. If you have a comment about this, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Talking about college athletics and just fuel to the fire today. I guess it was yesterday as well that Jordan Addison, the star wide receiver from Pitt, is reportedly going to be transferring to USC. It has not happened yet, but he is reportedly going to enter the portal late, so he will have to sit out a year, and supposedly will get paid $2 million in NIL deals to play over at USC in Lincoln Riley. I mean, that's just, it's bad. It's really, really bad, and there's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it. It's bad. I mean, if you can come on here and tell me what's good about this, and you can give me some good points, I would love to hear it. I would love to hear it, because my outlook on it right now is extremely negative, and I know that. But if you have something where you say, well, think about it this way, I might agree. 100%, I might agree. And I would love to hear from you. If you're disagreeing with me, or if you have something to add to what I'm saying, again, I would love to hear from you. You can call in 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I just don't think this is a good thing. There's the reports of that Tennessee player making, what, like $8 million or something like that? I mean, just ridiculous amount of money for a college athlete. For a college athlete where 10 years ago, they weren't making any money, supposedly. Maybe some tampering, stuff like that. But that's still going to happen as well. That's a whole different subject. That's a whole different idea. And I was listening to parts of the show of Crane and Company with Jake Crane, and they were actually talking about this whole idea of tampering, and there's going to be no control over it because there's not. There's no control. What is preventing a school from reaching out to a kid and saying, hey, how much are you making at that school? Yeah, we can get you double that. What's stopping them from doing that? Nothing. And then once they are convinced, or once they, all they got to do is get word. They don't even have to get a confirmation. All they have to do is catch wind of, oh, they're making that much over there? Well, man, that's double or triple what I'm making right here. Why don't we just go over there? And that's exactly what's going to start happening. You are going to see a group of about, I don't know, 15 schools, maybe. It may not even be that much, where kids are going to start flooding to because they can get NIL money. Not all of them, because there's going to be a lot of them, a lot of high school kids, and even kids that are in college that transfer, that what they care about is the game of football. They care about getting better, and they care about going pro. There's going to be a large handful that still are like that. But as the years go on, you're going to see more and more and more players not care about the game and just go chase that money. And they should get paid. I'm not saying they shouldn't. They've deserved it for a long time to get, you know, basically to get paid for their name, image, and likeness, because schools and the NCAA and everybody else is making so much money off of them already. I 100% agree. They deserve a little bit. They deserve some, for sure. But millions and millions of dollars for a college football player? I don't see it. I don't see how that is beneficial to anybody besides the player, which is fine. But you can see where this is going to get ugly. You can see the road that this is going down. And it's not good. The road is narrowing, and it gets darker and darker and darker day by day. Literally, day by day. And it's only going to get worse, if you ask me. Let's take our first break here at hour number one. If you want to call in, get involved, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's take a break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. We've got about 8 more minutes before we head to the bottom of the hour break. We're going to have Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He'll come on and we'll ask him some questions about Auburn in the NFL draft and continue that conversation that we had a little bit yesterday. So he'll be on at 2:30 in the next segment. So make sure you stay tuned for that. If you want to call in, get involved with the show, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I've got a sound bite that I can play when you call in, so there's no dead air. Don't have to wait on a commercial. I'd love to test it out. I made it yesterday, and hopefully it works. We'll see how it goes. So I'd love to hear from somebody, and we'll test it out, see how it goes. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. And the question I pose to you, continuing on from last segment, the question that I pose to you is this. What are your suggestions to fix college athletics? Because obviously it's broken right now. There's a lot of things going on that are not beneficial to college football, college basketball. We can keep it on those because that's really what the two sports that are mostly affected by this. just because of the popularity and the money and the athletes that are in those two sports. So what are your suggestions to fix college football and college basketball when it comes to NIL, transfer portal, tampering, all of these subjects that are flying around right now? What are your suggestions? How would you fix it if you were, you know, if you had the chance? What would you do to fix it? Let me know. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. My suggestion would be, obviously, before they released this NIL and transfer portal ideas, to almost do a slow release, not just throw it out the, basically not just throw it out of the tree and say, here you go, fly. You know, start out slowly and have limitations on it and control it. It's like a, you know, it's like a bonfire. You don't want to just throw everything on the pile, throw a bunch of gasoline on it, and just let it fly and let it go up in flames. You start small and you build it and you control it. You don't just let it go crazy. That's what this NIL and transfer portal is. It's like a bonfire. You've got to keep it controlled. And then as it goes on and as it burns, you can put more on and you can pile on, right? And you can expand it out a little bit if you need to. That's what they should have done with the NIL and the transfer portal. Obviously, easier said now, and, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but that's what I would have done. But if I were to change things right now, before it gets any more out of hand, I think you can still, well, I don't know. I've said that you can't, and you may not be able to, but possibly try to peel it back a little bit. Pull back the reins just a bit, because it's already getting out of control. $2 million, $8 million for one single player, that's ridiculous. But if you can limit it right now and try to reel it back in just a little bit and say, okay, here's the cap per player that each player can make from NIL. And with the transfer portal, you know, the transfer portal is not so much my issue, but it's when it gets paired with NIL, that's when it gets ugly, because players are now using the transfer portal to chase money instead of finding a new home and finding a new coach to play for and finding a new program to play for. That's what the portal was used for and was created for, was for athletes to say, look, I came to this program, I came to this school, it's not working out, I'm going to try and go somewhere else where I can better myself, better that program, and it just be better for everybody. It made sense. The portal is a fantastic idea. But then NIL came along, and now, instead of a running back in the Pac-12, he says, you know what, just don't like my school, I'm going to go somewhere else where I can play and get more minutes and get more playing time. Now he can say, well, I'm not making hardly any money here, but so-and-so just called and said, hey, we can give you six figures in NIL money. Okay, see ya. And that's exactly what's happening. So the transfer portal is not bad, but when you pair it with the NIL, it's really, really bad. It just gets extremely ugly. So my suggestion, there's got to be limitations. There have to be restrictions. There's got to be some guidelines. And that's on the NCAA, and it may be on schools themselves. It may be on schools themselves, but the schools aren't going to do it, because why would they limit themselves, right? Why would they limit themselves? They're not going to do that. It's got to be from a higher power. And so we're back on this conversation of relying on the NCAA. Good luck. Good luck if you're relying on them to make the right call and make the right decision, because their reputation, as we all know, has been completely destroyed over the past few seasons. So that would be how I would change it. But again, I think it's too far gone. I think it's too far gone. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I don't like where it's going. I don't like where it's at right now. And again, we're talking about it today because with the reports of Jordan Addison, the receiver from Pitt, he He hasn't transferred yet, hasn't entered his name in the transfer portal yet, but there are reports that he is going to possibly by tonight and reportedly will transfer to USC for a reported $2 million. I know I'm saying reported a lot because nothing is official yet. Nothing is official, but there are some pretty reliable sources saying that it's going to happen, and so the situation would be he enters the transfer portal, he transfers to USC because of $2 million in NIL deals, and he would have to sit out the year because, of course, May 1st was the transfer portal deadline. Unless he was able to get that shot down or, like, overruled, I don't think he would. But, again, why would he care? Why would he care? If he goes out there, he's going to be making money. He doesn't care, right? So that is all reportedly going to happen. It has not happened yet, but they're saying it could happen as quickly as tonight. But if he enters the portal, they also said that Alabama would be in the mix, and who knows how much they're able to give. I mean, but here's the thing. Here's the thing I actually like about Alabama versus somebody like the USC right now. Alabama, when you go to play there, you're playing for the best college football coach in the history of the game. You're also going there, and you got a pretty good shot to give yourself a chance to go pro. And you also have a really good shot to go and win a national championship. That's the difference between Alabama. If you go to USC, yeah, you're playing for Lincoln Riley, but he hasn't won, and he's starting a brand new program. They're starting from the bottom up again. He can't guarantee you anything but money. Alabama, on the other hand, they can guarantee you wins. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. 30 minutes into hour number one here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and on 98.3 on Fox Sports Central Alabama up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. 30 minutes into hour number one. Hope you're all doing well. We have Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Zach, how's it going?
Hey, man. I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Well, it's good to have you back here on the show. And let's jump right into it. I've had the conversation so far today that I think college athletics, especially college football, is not going in the best direction when it comes to NIL and transfer portal. And with the news of Jordan Addison, the Pitt wide receiver, reportedly going to be transferring to USC for something like $2 million, what's your opinion on all of this?
I think it's fine. I think any other market, you pay people market value for what they're able to bring to the table. And I don't think there's anything different with this. And, you know, I'm sure it's hot right now. The market's hot. I'm sure it's going to even out. We're going to figure out what fair market value is for things. But look, I think all of these things were widely accepted when it happened. I think the transfer portal makes sense. I think NIL makes sense. You know, what's going to be interesting is how the NCAA decides to deal with some of these rules that are in place that they're clearly just not upholding right now. Like tampering is interesting, the tampering aspect of it. But as far as just NIL and players being able to profit off of playing football and being able to transfer one time for free, I think it's fine.
Yeah, and tampering is something that I brought up as well. That's been a pretty hot subject around the college football media world the past couple of days. In your opinion, what would be the way for the NCAA to prevent it or restrict it?
I think it's interesting. And Auburn, I don't know if Auburn's, like, innocent from this. I mean, think about the guys that the Tigers went out to get during this this offseason. I mean, folks were told to, hey, keep an eye out for Oregon players. And, you know, they were projected to get these guys before they entered the portal. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly how you tell these kids and you monitor these kids, like, and say, hey, did you hear from this coach or somebody from this program before you entered the portal? That doesn't seem right to be able to kind of dictate who they can talk to and who they can't. So, look, Jacob, college football's never been about parity. And so all of these people that are talking about the fact of, okay, well, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. This is only going to benefit the top programs in college football. It's always been that way. Every rule change has been that way. And so, like, I don't understand why we're all of a sudden striving for parity in college football when it's never been that way to begin with.
No, it makes sense, and it really is a tough subject, and it's not just there's not just one definite answer, but definitely wanted to get your opinion on that. That's something we've been talking about today on the show. More focused on Auburn, of course, the NFL draft was late last week and over the weekend. Auburn saw just one guy get drafted with Roger McCreary. What are your thoughts on Auburn just producing the one with a couple of others getting signed?
Yeah, I got a handful of UDFAs out there. I guess it's not too big of a shock. I thought Smoke would get drafted. I didn't think Zacoby was draftable. So that's a little bit surprising. And look, the New Orleans Saints are pumped if they got Smoke Monday. So we'll see how that goes with him. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Auburn only getting one guy drafted. And I don't think that's entirely fair because, I mean, Brian Harsin kind of convinced a lot of these guys to come back for another year because Colby Wooden believed in what Brian Harsin was doing. Derek Hall's the same way. Both of those guys would have been drafted over the weekend had they declared. Owen Papo probably would have too, despite his injury. So, I think whenever something doesn't go well, people want to blame somebody. But in reality, there's just a lot of different factors that went into this, and this was the outcome.
No doubt about it. And I think, you know, obviously – after the first year and coming in with still all the COVID protocols and then everything else going on, not necessarily putting the blame on Auburn or Brian Harsin, but it's something that Auburn, you know, normally has at least three or four guys go into the draft. So something only having one was something that definitely stuck out. And my next question for you is, you talk about the players that Brian Harsin brings back. What is it going to take for Auburn to start putting those guys into the league in the coming years?
I think just them choosing to leave Auburn. Like I said, I think there were three or four guys that stayed that could have gotten drafted. And so just let them serve their time, let them use their eligibility how they want. And then, you know, I think that could be the next page. I mean, even there's going to be some guys like I think Jalen Simpson has a chance to be tested by the NFL. I think they're going to like what he brings to the table. I think, the offensive line situation is going to be fun to see if they can take a step forward. Keandre Jones will probably leave for the draft after this season. Obviously, Tank Bigsby. So there should be a lot more Auburn representation entering the NFL in the 2023 draft. So I think to stay the course is the easiest thing Brian Harsin and his staff can do.
Talking to Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn. To continue some of the draft talk, you talk about the guys that you think are going to be in the draft next year. We've had the discussion of, or I have at least, that I think this coaching staff is really football-minded, really development-heavy. And in your opinion, do you agree with that, that they are really focused on developing players as they are here at Auburn?
I think every coaching staff is. We saw him do it at Boise State. Can he do it at the SEC level? And a lot of that comes down to, you know, position coaches. And so, you know, did these individual position groups look better over the course of last season? And I think with some of them, you can. I think with some of them, there's still question marks. And obviously, like, you know, you got a new linebackers coach. Can Christian Robinson develop these linebackers at the same rate that, you know, Schmetting did as defensive coordinator? Zach Guthrie certainly seems promising. So, yeah, I think so. I think every coaching staff is aimed at developing their players. It's just, it's been a season. And I think somewhere over the last 12 months, the goalposts have moved. I think whenever we all saw that Brian Harsin was hired, we all realized, okay, this is going to be a process. This is going to be a build. And then a year into it, folks are frustrated that there's not more results. And it's like, we all knew this was coming. I think just give it time. But, yeah, certainly this coaching staff wants to develop these players. There's no question about it.
You're exactly right. Time, that's the thing I've preached as well. You got to give them time to implement their process, their system, and the word I've also used is survive. As long as they can survive, I think they're going to do fairly well throughout the next couple of years. Talking to Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn, do you have any updates about – players on the roster that have been injured through the spring, maybe got that offseason surgery, that are getting healthier as the weeks go on?
Let's think on this. So we saw a big group of the offensive linemen either be limited during spring or didn't practice at all. So like Nick Broms was there. He had that surgery right before the Birmingham Bowl. Brandon Council missed time. Austin Troxell missed time. And so you got to think all of that was just kind of they need a few weeks and they'll be back over the course of the summer. Jarquez Hunter, he was kind of projected to be out 8 to 12 weeks, a few months. And so he should be kind of getting back into shape there. And then Owen Papo obviously had those injuries towards the end of last season. And so hopefully he can get healthy over the course of the offseason. Those are the big ones that come to mind, Jacob. And I'm sure there's more that we don't know about. I mean, you know, the beauty of playing football is, you know, nobody's ever fully healthy. They're all kind of battling something, some kind of nick or injury. So we'll see. But, yeah, those are the big ones as far as guys who missed spring.
Talking to Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn, just a basketball question for you before we let you get out of here. Of course, Jahni Broom commits to Auburn. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a huge impact. The fact that Bruce Pearl's able to go out and get the best transfer in the best center in the transfer portal 2 years in a row, I think that really kind of speaks to his approach to how Auburn basketball is going to attack this new era of college sports and college athletics with the transfer portal. And so Jahni Broom, a guy that's going to be able to fill that massive hole that Walker Kessler left behind him. And I think this move just offers a ton of upside. Obviously, the 2022 through 23 basketball team that Auburn fans are excited to see in a few months, but also, you know, if he's able to turn him into an NBA player, if you're the top center in high school or in the transfer portal, you're going to want to play for Bruce Pearl. And I think that it offers just a ton of upside as far as what this program can be in the future.
No doubt about it, Zach. We appreciate your time, as always, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Let everybody know where they can keep up with you and your work with Locked On Auburn.
Yeah, Locked On Auburn, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, we are covering all Auburn sports for Sports Illustrated. You can check all of our written work out at auburndaily.com.
Well, Zach, we appreciate your time. Hope you have a good week, man.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thanks.
That was Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn. He always and also does work with Auburn Daily, as you heard. So make sure you go check out all of his stuff. He's got a lot of good info and a lot of good podcasts as well. He gives out some great information. So we appreciate Zach Blackerby and his time here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. To dive into some of the things he was talking about, also, if you want to call in, phone lines are open rest of the show, folks. It's all about you now. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Call in anytime. I'd love to get you on the show and hear what you have to say about anything we're talking about. But to talk about some of the things Zach was mentioning, you know, I asked him the question about some of the guys coming back from injury and some off-season surgeries and things for Auburn football. He's talking about some of the linemen starting to get healthy a little bit. A lot of the things that happen with Auburn football injury-wise, a lot of them was just scheduled off-season surgeries, and that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that, and so that's why you didn't see a lot of guys play in the spring. Some of them were hurt, yes, but I think by the fall, everybody is going to be ready to go, and we'll see how this team plays out. And then, of course, we talked about Jahni Broom. Big time land from Bruce Pearl. And like Zach was saying, 2 years in a row, you get the best center in the transfer portal. That's big time. And not only did they land two big centers, he just sent Walker Kessler to the NBA. Yeah, I know he hasn't been drafted yet. He will be. He will be drafted late first round, somewhere in the second round maybe, for Walker Kessler. And Zach made a great point. He said, if Bruce Pearl is able to turn around Jahni Broom and send him to the NBA, that speaks highly to high school centers. If you're one of the best high school centers in high school basketball, why wouldn't you consider Auburn and Bruce Pearl? So, Zach, that was a great point that he brought up. So, really appreciate him coming on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We're going to take our final break of hour number one. If you want to call in, get involved, be a part of the show, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Call in, I'd love to hear from you. Let's take a break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Got about five more minutes before we head to the 3 o'clock break. I appreciate you all tuning in here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika on 98.3 on Fox Sports Central Alabama up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. Hope you're doing well on this fine Tuesday afternoon. A little bit of a breeze, sunshine, and some clouds. It's above 80 degrees, which means it's hot. That's what that means. So hope you're doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. It's been a great show so far. We just got off the phone with Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn. Talked to him about the current state of college football and he's a little bit more optimistic than I am. I was interested to hear what he had to say about that. So if you missed any of that phone call with that conversation with Zach Blackerby, we talked about Auburn in the NFL draft, and we talked about Jahni Broome committing to Auburn as well. If you missed any of that conversation, make sure you go and find the podcast On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded following today's show. So make sure you go find that wherever you get your podcast. Also, make sure you go find Locked On Auburn with Zach Blackerby and go find his work with Auburn Daily. Lance Dahl does some work with them as well. We have him on the show quite a bit. So make sure you go find all their content. They do really good work on both of those sites. So make sure you go and find that. Just a few more minutes before we get out of here for hour number one. If you want to call in, get involved. Again, I'd love to hear from you. I've got a new soundbite that I can play, so you can call in during the show. We don't have to wait till commercials anymore, as of right now, when I'm still trying to find a show producer. So I'd love to hear from you. You can call in anytime during the show to discuss anything we've talked about or anything you want to talk about sports-related. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Got just a few more minutes before we head to the 3 o'clock break, and want to talk about it quickly because I think it's important, and I find it really entertaining. The NHL playoffs, hockey playoffs, started last night, and if you watch hockey and if you watch the hockey playoffs, I would love to hear from you because I have some buddies that watch it, but a lot of my friends up north watch hockey, and not a lot of people that I know down here watch it a whole lot. And again, I know we are in the wrong portion of the country for hockey, but if you do watch it and you have a team, call in, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. But hockey playoffs did start yesterday, and man, they're so entertaining. It's so much fun. I thought the NBA was good this year. Hockey's already better. It's already better. It's so much more entertaining because it's so much more fast-paced, upbeat. The crowds are into it more. The play-by-play announcers are really, really good. And let me just say this. ESPN's coverage of hockey, I'll admit, I haven't watched a ton of it during the regular season. I watch games here and there. But I was watching the playoff games last night. And if you don't know, ESPN now has most of the NHL coverage. They had all of the playoff games last night. They were really, really good. I was really impressed with ESPN's hockey coverage. I liked all of their broadcasters. I liked their reporters on the side, like on the sidelines behind the glass. I liked their camera angles. I liked their score bugs. Everything about it, even their ads and their commercials and stuff, I really, really liked ESPN's hockey coverage. I was really impressed. So I didn't really know what to expect, but I was really, really impressed with ESPN's playoff hockey coverage. So credit to ESPN. They did a fantastic job. I hope they keep it up. But to start last night, round one, game one in the NHL playoffs, my Boston Bruins, they played the Carolina Hurricanes. It was close until the third period, and then Boston just kind of fell apart. They lose game one 5-1. Carolina is the best defensive team in hockey, and Boston got down 1-0 And then it was 2-0, and then after that it was over. They scored one to make it 2-1, but then Carolina just kind of put it on them there at the end. Series isn't over yet, though. It's still just one game. Carolina up on Boston, 1-0. Toronto and Tampa Bay, the Maple Leafs and the Lightning. Tampa Bay, your defending Stanley Cup champions, they get blown out in game one on the road. Toronto 5-0, and it was not even close for a second. Toronto put it on them fast and quickly. St. Louis went to Minnesota. They win 4-0. They're up 1-0. And the LA Kings, in a barn burner, they win 4-3 over the Edmonton Oilers in the game of the night in the NHL. Hour number one officially in the books. Stick around for hour number two. You're listening to On the Line.
You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on foxsports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Hour number one officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. I appreciate everybody tuning in here to the Tuesday edition of On the Line. If you missed hour number one or any of hour number one, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded immediately following today's show, so make sure you go and find that. If you'd like to call in, get involved, let me know what is on your mind going on in the sports world. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Yeah, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. My bad, I was looking at something on my phone as a message, just making sure everything was okay. It is. So make sure you give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You can call in anytime. Don't have to wait until the commercial. I've got a sound bite I can play. I'll click on that. I'll answer your call, and I'll get you right on the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can call in, get involved, and talk to me about anything on your mind going on in the sports world. Auburn football, basketball, if you want to talk about the Jahni Broome commitment, if you want to talk about Auburn football and what your expectations are, if you want to talk about college athletics, we had a big segment on that back in hour one. If you want to call in and talk about your opinion on the state of college football and college basketball, I'd love to hear from you. Any of that or anything else, call in, get involved. I love hearing from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's start hour number two, like we always do, with making headlines.
Making headlines.
So making headlines here today, Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022, Jordan Addison, the star Pitt wide receiver, has not done it yet, but is reportedly going to transfer from Pitt to USC and will reportedly get $2 million in NIL deal. And I say reportedly because none of it has happened yet. None of this is official yet, but there are reliable sources that say it is happening and it's about to happen and could happen as soon as tonight that he could enter the transfer portal. And USC is supposed to be the favorite because they supposedly have $2 million worth of NIL deals ready to give him when he walks in, when he walks on campus. Look, that's just ridiculous to me, man. That's crazy to me. He is one of the best wide receivers in all of college football, and if he does enter the transfer portal, he would obviously have to sit out a year because The deadline for the transfer portal was May 1st, and today is May 3rd. So he would not be eligible to play next season, but he could still go and practice and do whatever and get his money and do all of that. He just couldn't play this upcoming season. That is, nothing has happened yet, but there are sources close to the situation that think he will more than likely enter the portal as early as tonight. USC obviously will be the leader. Alabama is supposed to be in there as well. Look, it's going to be whoever can give him the most money. If Alabama wants to pay this guy $2.5 million, maybe they'll get him. They might. But right now, Lincoln Riley and USC would be the leaders for the Pitt wide receiver Jordan Addison. So that has not happened yet, but they say it's coming. And look, we had a big conversation about this back in hour number one. I think this is going to, this type of behavior is going to ruin college athletics. I think it's going to happen. It already is happening. And we talked to Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn, and I asked him what his opinion was, and he actually had a really good point. He said, look, in other forms of business outside of sports, you pay, and not in, even in sports too, but his point was, he said, you pay people what they're worth. You pay people what they're worth. And what's the difference in a school basically doing that with NIL deals? What's the difference in them doing that for a college football player? I thought that was actually a pretty decent point. I really did. That's not something I've thought about, and that's not a way that I've actually thought about this situation. And I understand what he was saying, and I understand that point. But I think there's got to be some separation between college athletics and professional athletics. College sports and pro sports. College athletes and professional athletes. I think there's got to be some type of separation there to make it different, because we're on the path to where there won't be any different. There won't be any difference at all. So that is where, that would be my one thing to go against that statement. But that's a fantastic way to put it from Zach Blackerby. I'm not dogging on him at all, because that's a fantastic point, and I had not thought about it that way. My opinion is, I just think there needs to be some type of dividing line. There's got to be some type of restrictions to where, you know, you're still a college athlete. You're still 18, 19, 20 years old, and there's got to be some type of line that separates college from professional. That's my opinion. I think there's got to be some type of line. But what brings all of this up again is Jordan Addison, the Pitt wide receiver, is reportedly going to enter the transfer portal and transfer to USC with a reported $2 million in NIL deals. That is just out of this world, if you ask me. That is just so crazy to think about, a college athlete making millions and millions of dollars for their name, image, and likeness. But credit to him. If he's able to get it, credit to him, man. Go get that money. I say it all the time. Go get that money. Moving on with making headlines, the NBA playoffs rolling on. Round two is underway in the NBA. And last night we had a couple of games, couple of game ones. Of course, there was a couple on Sunday. And, of course, the Bucks beat the Celtics and the Warriors beat the Grizzlies on Sunday. Last night, there were two games in the NBA, round two, game one in the East, and a round two, game one in the West. Starting in the East, the Miami Heat, the one seed, hosting the four-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, who are without Joel Embiid, remember. He basically broke his face. He has a lot of fractures in his face. He literally broke his face. And he is out for at least a few games. I'm not 100% sure how many games it is. I don't think they quite know. But he is definitely out for the next few games. And so they were without him in game one. Miami wins 106-92. And they pretty much had this game handled all four quarters. You look at some of the stats between Miami and Philadelphia, starting with the winning team, Miami. You had Bam Adebayo with 24, Butler with 15, PJ Tucker with 10. You have Tyler Hero off the bench with 25 points. They did what they had to do. They shot 43%. They shot 25 from three. They had 11 turnovers, so they didn't do that bad. And Philadelphia, again, they're without their best player, Joel Embiid. So they're up against a tough task anyway against the one-seeded Miami Heat. And Miami's also without Kyle Lowry. Remember that. And he will not play in game two. They announced that today. So he is not playing for the Miami Heat right now. But he's not really their best player. He's one of their best, but I wouldn't say he is their best. But Philadelphia is playing without their best player in Joel Embiid. And so now it's Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, James Harden, Danny Green, and DeAndre Jordan. He actually got the start last night with Joel Embiid not playing. And out of those players, you're looking at James Harden to carry this team. That's what he was traded for. That's why Philly went after James Harden, to pair him with Joel Embiid. And for him to be an impact player, for him to carry this team scoring-wise, they didn't trade for him for his defense, let's be honest. They traded for him for his offense and his offensive skill set. And so in a situation like this, you're looking for James Harden to step up. That's what you're doing. You're looking for James Harden to step up. We've got a phone call. Let's try this out. I've got a sound bit. Let's play it and see how it goes. I'm heading to the phone lines. Welcome back. How'd that work? That sound okay? We'll see how it goes. Let's head to the phone lines. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Shane is on line one. Shane, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm well. I am not ready for the monkeyness that has already arrived.
No, me neither, man. Me neither.
So how is it? How is the NIL name, image, NIL legally done through the schools? I mean, this seems like I'm not really grasping that part. Is it schools are able to give these students money, or is it boosters?
Well,
that are doing this.
Yeah, it's not technically the schools that are giving it. The school, you know, Auburn can't come out and say, hey, we're going to give this kid $500,000. But there are companies. Right, there are companies. So like in Auburn's case, there's a company called NIL Auburn, and they work directly with the school. And so if a company wants to support an athlete or support a group of athletes, they have to go through that company who goes through the school to make it happen. But the schools are working directly with them. And so, in a way, the schools are still offering a certain amount of money. Legally, they're not paying them. But, you know, in USC's case, they know what companies want to pay, you know, a player like Jordan Addison. They know, okay, these companies have come to us with this amount of money, and that's what we can offer this kid if he comes here.
So crazy this is what has been happening for how many decades now, and now it's just legal, basically.
Now it's allowed, yes. Yeah, now it's allowed.
This is the exact same thing that's been happening under the table. I hate it, man, because the rich schools are going to get richer. So Texas A&M is going to be, you know, they're going to be, they can pay whoever, whatever, because they live in Texas, and Texas, you know, is the richest state. They can... It's just going to be crazy to see, you know, it might hurt a lot of these little schools. And, you know, there might be some schools that just can't do football anymore because they can't get the players because they can't pay, you know, that much money for a player.
Yeah. And that's
don't want to come anymore.
Yeah, that's the scenario that I'm seeing play out as well, Shane. I think the smaller schools, you know, schools like Auburn are not going to struggle as much, but smaller schools are definitely going to struggle because, like you said, they can't afford millions and millions of NIL deals. Some of them can't even afford to pay NIL at all.
So what happens, though? You say Auburn can compete, but, I mean, realistically, if Auburn says, hey, man, we can get you $1 million, you know, if you come play with us, this five-star quarterback, you know, whatever, and A&M or whoever says, you know what, we could double that.
Exactly.
Are we going to double that? I mean, we're already struggling to bring in, you know, these high caliber players because of, you know, teams are who they are, and we have been who we are right now. And we recruit okay, but we don't recruit, you know, great.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to hurt us. I really think it's going to hurt Auburn.
Yeah,
so, I hope not, man. But
yeah, look, what you're saying is right, and that situation is going to start popping up more and more and more. And if you're in Auburn's situation and a lot of other schools in the same situation, what you have to bank on is when you go after some of these five-star, four-star athletes, you're hoping that it's not all about the money. Some of them it will be. And that's, you know, you can't do anything about that. You have to hope that the players you're going after, they want some money, but it's not all about the money. You have to be able to guarantee, look, you come to play at Auburn, we can give you this much money, but you're also going to get this much better. You're going to compete for a championship, and we're going to try to send you to the NFL. That's what you have to be able to do. But your program's got to be able to do that. Obviously, Auburn is not there right now, but I think they will be.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to bank on. But and when it comes to kids that are just chasing the money, at some point, you're going to have to just cut them loose.
You know, unfortunately, I think that is the way of that's the way it's turning. It's because they see everybody else getting money, and ultimately, it is about money. It is about getting to the next level where you do make the money. But now you don't even have to get to the next level to get the money.
I know.
It's going to be crazy to see how the next few years turn out, man. But anyway, where are you going, buddy? Talk to you later.
War Eagle to you. Yep. Appreciate the call, Shane. That was Shane here on the line. If you want to call in, get involved, I'd love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. How'd the little soundbite work? Did it sound okay? Did it sound all right? I think it worked fine, right? Timing was good. I think it all worked out just fine. That's what we're going to try and do if you want to call in. At any point during the show, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Shane. We always like hearing from him as well. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Look, everything Shane was saying, I agree with. I think that's the direction that it's going. Not everybody thinks that way, and that's how it works. Everybody's got their own opinions, right? But I think that's the way it's going. And he was asking, what's going to stop somebody like a Texas A&M who has access to so much money? When I say that schools like Texas A&M and USC are paying players, technically the school isn't doing it. Technically they're not doing it, but they are. And like I said, when they go into a recruit's house, they know how much money companies are willing to pay and willing to sponsor and how much boosters are willing to pay and sponsor these certain players. They know that before they even walk in the door. So no, the schools are not technically paying them, but they are. I mean, they are. They're paying them. And, you know, whether you think it's been happening for years or not, that's your own, you know, that's your own opinion. Has it been happening? I'm sure. I mean, let's just be honest. I'm sure it has. But, no, I agree. I think it's going to get even worse. And, you know, Shane was asking, well, how does Auburn compete with that if you can't offer the same amount of NIL money as another school? I honestly don't know. I don't know how you compete. You're still going to get some good players. And like I said, I think you're going to have to go after the kids that are not worried all about the money. And as the years go on, I think that's going to be the pickings of that group are going to be slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And that's just going to have to be a whole new tactic, a whole new wrench in the game plan when it comes to recruiting, not just in the high school ranks, but the transfer portal as well. That's just how it goes. And that's why you are seeing legendary coaches. Look at college basketball, Jay Wright. That's why he retired, folks. That's why he retired. He didn't want to have to deal with that. And you know what? I would put money, maybe. I would bet, maybe, that at the end of Nick Saban's contract, whenever it is, I'm not 100% sure when his contract is up, but I would say confidently right now, I bet he retires at the end of his contract because of where this is all heading. Because Nick Saban is one of those old school coaches. He's one of those old style football coaches, right? Obviously, we know that. And the game is changing so much, not that he still can't compete and still can't win, but these guys don't want to deal with this stuff, man. They don't want to deal with all this new stuff anymore because the game itself is changing, and the game that Nick Saban has dominated for so long is now changing. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't be able to be successful. I think he could win until he literally fell over on the football field. But when you look at everything that's changing and how coaching and recruiting has changed and will be changing, I could see him retiring at the end of this next contract. 100% I could. Because there's so much more that goes into coaching and recruiting besides come play at Alabama, come play at Auburn, and we're going to see if we can win a championship. That's not even half of it anymore. That's a quarter of it, maybe. There's so much more you have to pitch to an athlete to recruit them, and I think it's going to hurt the game. I think it's only going to get worse. And to Shane's point, how does Auburn compete? If you can't offer the same amount of NIL money as another school, how do you convince a player to come play for you? You've got to find the ones that still want to play the ball, man. You got to find the ones that still want to play the game. And you've got to get your program to a point where you can develop them good enough to where you can say, look, we may not be able to offer as much NIL money as this school over here, but what we can do is develop you and get you to the next level where you will get paid. If you come here, if you come to Auburn, we are going to do everything we can to get you to the next level. That is what Alabama can offer right now. They may not be able to offer millions and millions of dollars for NIL, maybe, to not every athlete, but what they can tell you is, A, we're gonna compete for championships, and B, if you come here, you've got a good shot to go pro. That is how Alabama will compete with all the NIL stuff. That's what Auburn's got to do as well. That's how you have to do it, because some players are going to be all about the money. Some players are going to be all about the game. That's how it goes, and a lot of them are going to be right in the middle. They want to get paid, but they want to win too, and they want to get better. Let's take a break. We'll come back and continue this conversation. Call in, get involved. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. We've got about 5 more minutes before we head to the bottom of the hour break. If you want to call in, get involved with anything of the show, talk about anything going on in the sports world, I'd love to hear from you here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Heard from Shane in the last segment. It was good to hear from him. Called in about the NIL and just how it's going to affect college athletics, college football, really. We've talked about it a lot today. If you have an opinion about that or anything else we've talked about or anything else in the sports world, I'd love to hear from you. Call in, get involved, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I posed the question back in hour one, what are your suggestions to fix college athletics, fix the NIL, fix the transfer portal? How would you do it? What would you change about the rules that are in place right now? Change any of the regulations that are in right now, maybe add some regulations or limitations, maybe any of that or anything else on your mind. Again, I'd love to hear from you. Call in, get involved with the show, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I've got about 3 minutes before we head to the break, and something that I thought was really interesting, this past NFL draft, I don't know when the last time this happened was, but the University of Texas, one of the most historic college football programs in the history of college football, one of the biggest college football programs in all of college football, they did not have a single player drafted to the NFL this year. Not one. Not a single one. And I know you could say, well, Auburn only had one. Blah, you know, whatever. But that's pretty big for Texas to not have anybody drafted. But, look at the situation. You're still coming out of COVID stuff. You had a brand new head coach, Steve Sarkisian. He went 5-7 in year one. And, I mean, you had a bunch of changes, guys transferring in and out, new head coach. You went 5-7, didn't really do anything too spectacular, right? But Texas is one of those schools where you expect guys to go to the league from there. It's kind of like Auburn. You expect at least somebody to go to the NFL every year, year in, year out, right? Auburn, yeah, they had one, and then they had a bunch of guys sign. Texas didn't have anybody drafted, not one. And I don't think there's any reason to have a major overreaction to this, but it's still, I think it's still kind of important because, look, Texas football is down. I mean, they're down. They're not back. They're definitely not back. I'm not sure if Sarkisian can do it or not. I'm not that. I don't say that in the tone of, well, I just don't think he can do it. I just don't know. I really don't know if he can do it or not. We're about to find out. And that's a pretty big job to take. And year two, it's going to be important for Steve Sarkisian to do something special at Texas this year. It's kind of like Brian Harsin and Auburn situation. You're looking at it right now. They went 5-7 last year. Texas did. Had a losing season year one, trying to turn a program around. I think I have more confidence in Brian Harsin and Auburn than I do in Steve Sarkisian in Texas. What do you think? That's an interesting question. Who do you have more confidence in to get the season, to get the program turned around? Brian Harsin at Auburn or Steve Sarkisian at Texas? And why? What's your opinion? That's a great question. That's a great question. I'd love to hear your answer to that question. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Who do you have more confidence in to turn their program around? Brian Harsin at Auburn or Steve Sarkisian in Texas? And why? My answer is Brian Harsin at Auburn because I think the schedule is favorable this year. I think he's a better football coach. He's had more experience. And I think he's going to have better players. I really do. Let's head to the break. We can talk about this a little bit more on the other side. Call in. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Stay tuned. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. 30 more minutes left in hour number two of the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Make sure you stay tuned at 4 o'clock. It'll be The Drive with Dan Pack and Bill Cameron. From 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Before the break, I came up with what I thought was a pretty interesting question. I was talking about Texas football, that is, not having a single draft pick in this year's NFL draft. And I came up with the question that, I guess here it is. When you look at Auburn and you look at University of Texas, both of them had losing seasons last year. Both of them are coming into the 2022 season with a second-year head coach, Brian Harsin at Auburn, Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Here's my question to you. Which coach do you have more confidence in to turn their program around? Steve Sarkisian at Texas or Brian Harsin at Auburn, and why? And when I say turn their program around, I mean don't lose their job. Don't get fired. Have a winning season and keep their job for a longer period of time. That's what I mean by that. So which one do you have more confidence in, Brian Harsin at Auburn or Steve Sarkisian at Texas, and why? Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Or toll free at 888-382-7502. I'd love to hear from you and what your opinion about that is. I think it's an interesting question. My answer is Brian Harsin at Auburn because, look, the schedule may not be easier, but for Auburn, it's favorable. I was looking at Texas's schedule during the commercial break, and they start out the year with Louisiana Monroe. Obviously, that should be a win. Then they have to play a neutral site against Alabama. That's going to be a blowout. Then you get UTSA. That should be a win. Then you got to go to Texas Tech. I would assume that would be a loss. You've got West Virginia at home. Okay, I mean, toss up. Texas should win. Then you have to play Oklahoma on neutral site. That could go either way. How good is Oklahoma going to be this year? You don't really know. Iowa State, you never really know against Texas. You got to go at Oklahoma State again. Who knows? To Kansas State should be a win. TCU should be a win. At Kansas should be a win, but we've seen Kansas do it before against Texas. And then Baylor, again, another toss-up. So you just don't really know what you're going to get from this Texas football team this year. And I know we don't talk about the Big 12 a whole lot, but Texas is not in the Big 12 for much longer, folks. They're not in the Big 12 for much longer. And if they don't get their program turned around really quick, coming to the SEC is not going to fix that. That's not going to fix that at all. Maybe recruiting-wise, just because you've got the SEC patch on your jersey now. But if you're struggling in the Big 12 to win games, and you're struggling in the Big 12 to get recruits, the SEC is not going to make that any easier for you. Yeah, you're going to get some more money, but now you have to recruit against not just schools in Texas, not just Oklahoma. You've got to recruit against the whole SEC now. Like, Texas is in a really, really scary spot if you are looking at their football program. And so that's why my answer is Brian Harsin at Auburn. I have more confidence in him to turn his program around more than I do Steve Sarkisian at Texas. I'm about to look up Texas's football recruiting, what their recruiting ranking is, because I really don't know. I have no idea what it is. And we're about to see, pull up and see what their ranking is. But even when even if they have a high recruiting class, I just don't know if Texas can get it done. I don't know if Steve Sarkisian is the guy to get it done at Texas. I just don't know. I don't know. And if I had to put my money on either Brian Harsin having his job in the next 3 years or Steve Sarkisian having his job in the next 3 years, I'm going to pick Brian Harsin, man. I'm going to pick Brian Harsin. I am every time. Not just because he's Auburn, but because when I sit down and think about a football coach and I sit down and think about who I think is going to be more successful at their school, I think it's Brian Harsin, man. I really do. And I think he's going to have better players. His schedule's a lot harder, but again, for Auburn, the schedule's pretty favorable this year. You have your first 5 games at home. Those got to be wins. At least 4 of them have to be wins. We've talked about that a lot on here. And I think after that, Auburn can pick up some wins along the way, and they're going to be okay. Texas, on the other hand, who knows? Who knows what you're going to get with Steve Sarkisian? He may come out and be a fantastic coach, and Texas may finally, quote-unquote, be back. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. We're about to find out. But, again, if I was a betting man, if I had to put my money on either Brian Harsin in Auburn or Steve Sarkisian in Texas, I'm going the Auburn route. I really am. If you have an opinion about that, what's your answer? 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. On to the next subject. I was scrolling through ESPN a little bit earlier and they had an article on there that I thought was really interesting, and to stick with college football, it was an article about overreactions coming out of the spring for college football. And I thought it was interesting, and so I wanted to kind of break it down a little bit and see what you think about it, because, of course, coming out of the spring, you can only say so much. You can only look into it so much, right? We say that on here all the time, and there are definitely big-time overreactions coming out of the spring across the country and all conferences for all teams, really. And this ESPN article was posted at 6 a.m. this morning by Mark Schlabaugh. He's one of the best ESPN college football writers that they have. And so want to run through some of these and see what I think. See what you think as well about the, it says, assessing spring overreactions in college football. That's the title of it. So the first one is Georgia lost too much talent to get back to the college football playoff. That's overreaction number one. Coming off a national championship, they just had a record number of players drafted in the NFL. But guys, they've got a great recruiting class coming back. They're going to be just fine. Georgia's going to be just fine. Are they going to win it all again? I would say no. But that doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoff again. That doesn't mean they're not going to win the East again. Because Who's their threat in the East right now? Tennessee? Okay. And then all they have to do is beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. And they don't even have to do that. If they're good enough, they can lose that game and still make it to the playoff. Georgia is just fine. Even though they lost so many guys, especially defensive players, look, they had 15 guys drafted this year. That's unbelievable. 15 guys got drafted from Georgia to the NFL. But they're going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine. And Georgia, again, they're going to be fine. They have Stetson Bennett as their quarterback. And I think Georgia has enough players to still do what they need to do. They play in the SEC East. They don't have a whole lot of competition over there. They've got pretty much a free ride to the SEC Championship right now because they're so much better than everybody else. They're going to be just fine. They're going to make the playoff again. And if they don't, they're going to be in a New Year's Six. But it's not because of all the talent they lost. That's not it at all. Georgia will be just fine. That is definitely an overreaction. The next one is, what Lincoln Riley is doing at USC is wrong. And it's talking about a possible tampering aspect when it comes to getting players to come to USC. And it actually talks about Jordan Addison, the guy we talked about today on the show. He is supposedly heading to USC via the transfer portal because of at least $2 million of NIL money. We'll see. That is nothing like that has happened yet, but that is the report. And basically the overreaction says Lincoln Riley's doing it wrong at USC. Is he, though? Is he doing it wrong? What do you think? If he's tampering and actually doing it against the rules, then yes. But at this point, if he's just using the system how it's set up, good for him. Good for him, man. He's going after the best wide receiver in the country because somehow that receiver got word that, hey, you can come play at USC and we've got $2 million waiting on you. He got word somehow. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you legally do that without it being tampering, but as long as Lincoln Riley and USC are doing it the right way, which who knows if they are or not, I don't know. It may come out years from now where, you know, USC gets sanctioned by the NCAA because they screwed up in 2022. We may find out, but as long as they're doing it legally and with the rules, then getting the best players because you have the most NIL money to offer, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just playing the system how it is. You're just playing the system, and that's what you have to do in today's world. That's what you have to do in today's game of college football. So, again, as long as USC and Lincoln Riley aren't breaking the rules, then no, they're not doing anything wrong, and I think credit to them for doing it. Lincoln Riley's in a tough spot at USC. He's trying to build one of the most historic football franchises and build them back up to what they used to be. He's got a long way to go, folks. He has a long way to go. Clay Helton, yikes. He has a long way to go to get there, and he's trying to do everything he can and use what he has to his advantage to do so. Credit to him, man. He's doing just fine. The next overreaction on this ESPN article of overreactions coming out of spring for college football, Texas will be able to compete in the SEC. That's the overreaction, basically saying, no, they will not be able to compete in the SEC. And here's a note. There were 32 players drafted in this year's NFL draft who attended Texas high schools. None of them played for the Texas Longhorns. That's what I was talking about earlier. Texas didn't have a single draft pick. They're struggling already in the Big 12. What's going to change in the SEC? Nothing. They're going to struggle even more in the SEC. That move is not helping them at all right now. Not at all. Money-wise, sure. But when you're still struggling to get recruits, when you're still struggling to get wins on the football field, the SEC is not going to make it easier. Now, if you move to the Pac-12, sure. Yeah, you may pick up some wins out there. But moving to the SEC, you're asking for a death sentence. So Texas is, they are in a scary, scary spot right now. That's kind of what we had talked about before this topic. And again, Steve Sarkisian, he's got an uphill climb, just like Lincoln Riley does, right? So Texas, they're not backed yet, folks, and it may be a while before they are because I just don't know how they're going to get any better coming to the SEC. They've got one more year in the Big 12 before they come to the SEC. Oh, here's the stat I was looking for. It's the first time since 2014 that Texas didn't have a draft pick. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good little streak they had going. And again, SEC is not going to change that for Texas. They are going to struggle for the first few years in the SEC. Unless something dramatic changes for them, I don't see them being successful over here. I really don't. The next one is Nebraska is in good hands. I just don't know. I mean, look, it's Nebraska. And now they have some NCAA stuff going on. It's still Scott Frost over there. Nebraska is just, they're in a whole different situation. They're kind of in their own little world right now. And Nebraska thinks that they can get back to their glory days. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And I don't see it with Scott Frost. No, I don't see it with him at all. Nebraska is just going to have to do their thing and just kind of go with the flow and try to get out of whatever troubles that they're in. And Nebraska, in today's world, Nebraska's not going to be great again. They're not. They're not going to be good again. They can't compete. They can't compete with recruiting. They can't compete with the teams. They can't compete now with NIL. I mean, who in the world is going to be able to pay somebody in Nebraska, right? Nobody's going to be able to pay millions of dollars from Nebraska, and that's going to hurt them. We talked about it with a caller earlier. He was talking about smaller schools are going to struggle. Nebraska's not a small school, but Nebraska's going to struggle with the current NIL stuff, with the current stage of college athletics. Those types of schools are going to struggle because they can't offer that type of money. Nebraska's the same way. I don't know if they're in good hands. I don't really know what's going on out there. I don't think they know what's going on in Nebraska. So, no, that's not an overreaction either. Nebraska is just in a dumpster fire right now. But hopefully they figure it out. You know, credit to them. Hopefully they figure it out. But the question I'm posing to you as we head to our final break of the Tuesday edition of On the Line, who do you have more confidence in to overturn and bring back their program? Who keeps their job longer, Brian Harsin at Auburn or Steve Sarkisian at Texas? I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's head to the break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon as we wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Make sure you stay tuned. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama from 4 to 6 p.m. right after me. So make sure you stay tuned for that. They'll have all your updates on anything going on in the sports world. So make sure you stay tuned for that. If you missed any of my show today, make sure you go find the podcast On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded immediately following today's show. I'll go and edit it, throw it up. You can go listen to it. If you missed any of today's show, make sure you search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We had Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn in the first hour. Had him on the phone to talk about Auburn in the NFL, Auburn in the NFL draft, what to expect next year in the NFL draft for Auburn. And also, what else did we talk? Oh, yeah, we talked about some basketball as well with Jani Broome. And had to remember a little bit what we talked about. But we talked about Jani Broome. We also talked about NIL and the current state of college athletics, the conversation we've really had today here on the show. And we talked to him a little bit. He had a really interesting take on that situation, something a little bit different from mine. So it was really interesting. Glad he was able to come on. We appreciate him and his time. So make sure you go find that conversation as well on the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It's been a great show today. Lots of talk about the current state of college athletics, specifically college football, with the reported news and the reported rumors, I guess, about the Pitt wide receiver Jordan Addison. He's still at Pitt. He hasn't transferred yet, but the predictions are that he will be transferring to USC due to a very high amount of money through the NIL system. So hasn't happened yet, but they say it's probably going to happen. And so that's been the center of our conversation really all day today. And it's been a great conversation. I'm worried about the state of college sports, especially college football. I think it's going to get to a point where it's almost unwatchable. I really do. I think it's heading in a really, really bad direction. I have nothing against players transferring. I have nothing against players getting paid for their name, image, and likeness. None of that. I don't have an issue with any of that. I really don't. But there's got to be some type of limitation to it. There's got to be some type of restrictions to it. And the NCAA screwed up when they just said, here you go. They had a chance to do this the right way, and shocker, they dropped the ball and they did it the wrong way. And now, I think it's too far gone. I think it's too far gone. It can't be saved, and I think it's only going to get uglier. Some disagree with me, and that's totally fine. That is totally fine. And look, I hope that you are right. I hope that it doesn't ruin college football. I hope it doesn't ruin college basketball. I hope it doesn't ruin college athletics. But I think it's going to, man. I really do. I think it's going to. I think it's only going to get worse. You think it's bad now? Wait 5 years from now. You think $2 million is a lot of money to pay a college athlete? Wait until you see $10 and $15 million paying for a college athlete. Because it's coming, I'm telling you. That's it for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.